Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, April 17th, 2018, tax day, by the way, of course. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule, and our marine weather forecast, small craft advisory for rough conditions on the Columbia River bar that expired early this morning. So it looks like the weather is starting to mellow out a little bit. However, we do have on the Columbia River bar today, seas 7 to 9 feet through tonight, and they will temporarily reach about 10-12 feet high during those max ebb current times. One happened this morning around 6. Another will happen around 6:45 p.m. So every 12 hours, the Columbia River bar, about halfway through the outgoing tidal cycle as the tide falls or ebbs, you get a really, really dynamic, tempestuous period on the bar when the current is very fast, the waves can be very unpredictable, and it is just a time to stay away from that area unless you are like the Coast Guard or a bar pilot or something like that. Only very, very, very skilled people. And in general, most of us ordinary folks should just stay home, so to speak, if you pardon the expression. You know, sometimes you really should just stay home, and this is one of them, or at least stay away from the bar. But not just the bar, not just the very area at the mouth of the river. Even off of Astoria during those max ebb current times, if you look out, you'll see that the buoys are being dragged on an angle and the water is really racing by the shore. And if you go out there in a small boat, this is why it's so important to pay attention to the tide tables. If you go out there during that max ebb current time in a small boat with, say, only a 5-horsepower motor on the back, a little outboard, you could very well be in a position of being overpowered by the current. And so that's why these marine weather forecasts are so important and why things like tide tables are so important around here, and why you need to pay attention to them, and why I talk about them all the time on the Ship Report. We have a small craft advisory overall in our marine weather forecast for winds. Small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect until noontime today. Things are going to start calming down overall later on in the week. Southwest winds 15 to 20 knots, gusting to 25. And they're going to calm down a little bit later in the day, but we do have wind waves from the west 4 feet at 5 seconds, northwest swells 11 feet or 10 seconds apart, meaning between the wave crests, subsiding to 8 feet later on in the day. And that chance of showers that we have on land remains for the water as well, because that's where most of our weather comes from. It comes to us over the ocean. And that's why sometimes we'll get a weather forecast of everything is breaking loose and it's going to be horrible and the weather's going to be terrible, and then it isn't so terrible because there really aren't a whole lot of monitoring stations except maybe ships and some satellite information about what's really going on out there. And the weather is fluky. A storm can move a few miles out of the way and it can make a great difference in what happens on land. So that's why weather prediction is so challenging here on the coast, and we just sort of have to sometimes wait and see what happens. So you'll get those dire weather reports that don't pan out, and sometimes ones that are worse than we thought they would be. Let's take a look at today's Columbia River ship schedule. We have 4 inbounders. We have 9 in the Astoria anchorage, 5 at the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria. The Fortune Sunny is our first inbounder today from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She probably got there at about 4:30 this morning. Eventually, she'll head upriver to Kalama to pick up corn, soy, wheat, maybe a combination of those cargoes in different cargo holds, because the ships, those bulk carriers, have separate big, gigantic bins that are each one the size of a small stadium, looks like when you're down in one. A number of years ago, I got to go down in one of those cargo holds when it was empty. They're absolutely huge, stories high. And so ships can carry different kinds of cargo. So you might have corn in one cargo hold, wheat in another one. The ships are cleared for food cargoes, and then they're carrying only food. So you would not mix food and mineral cargo because there could be contamination. So anyway, you can have different cargoes in different ships heading out. Let's see. We have the Medi Baltimore arriving from offshore, headed for the Rice Island anchorage. She probably arrived there around 7:30 this morning. We're going to be picking up weed eventually. And the Triton is arriving from China. She's headed for the Rainier anchorage opposite Longview. She'll be passing Astoria maybe around 11:30 a.m. and arriving around 3 p.m. in the area in there. And she's a wheat ship. And the Nias is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Rice Island anchorage. She will arrive around 9:30 in the anchorage. And in the Astoria anchorage, we have the Ocean Bloom. She's headed for Vancouver. She's a wheat ship leaving around 4:30 p.m. About 6 hours later, she'll be in Vancouver. And we have some ships awaiting orders in the anchorage. The Leto, the Paolo Topic, the BTG Matterhorn, the Palais, the Fortune Sunny, the Sanya, the star amethyst. And then at the Port of Astoria, the Global Striker is loading logs. And I think I'm going to stop here with the ship schedule. And I know that I've been a little bit lax in posting podcasts. I'm going to catch up with that this week. Just a lot's been going on. I'll put this up on this schedule up there so you can see the rest of the vessels. But we just have a lot of ships in the anchorage, both anchorages, so there's a lot to look at. If you happen to be out on the water in the non-raining part of the day with a pair of binoculars, you can get some interesting ship watching in right here on the Astoria waterfront. Well, today I wanted to share with you part of an article that, and many thanks to Pat Corcoran. He is, you may know Pat, he's the Oregon State University Coastal Hazards Outreach Specialist. He talks with us about tsunami risks and other coastal hazards. So you've heard his voice on Coast Community Radio many times. He sent this to me in email because he knows I'm a ship fan. It's a wonderful article, and I want to recommend it to you. It's from a magazine called Hakai, H-A-K-A-I, online. It's the article is called The Secret Language of Ships, and the writer, who is just terrific, the journalist who wrote this, Aaron Van Rienen. You know, the writing is so lyrical in this article. I want to read a little bit of it to you. But it has some great details of things that I just want to explain to you about ships. And it also illustrates something that we've seen over many generations of the world, which is that the sea inspires people to be lyrical in their writing. You know, look at Joseph Conrad, one of the great maritime writers of all time. There's something about the sea that inspires, that brings out the magic in us. At least that's the way I feel about it. So this writer was inspired, and she wrote a great article. I want to share a little bit of it with you. The headline is, Signs and Symbols on the Sides of Ships Tell Stories About an Industry Few Outsiders Understand. This is such a great image I'm going to read to you about approaching a container ship on a smaller boat. Approaching the container ship in San Francisco Bay, the tugboat looks like a pit bull puppy chasing an 18-wheeler. Now think about that the next time you see a pilot boat run alongside one of those big ships out here. When the vessels are an arm's length apart, the ship's mate throws down a line. Now leashed to the ship, the tug can push and pull it around the bay. Big ships can't easily slow down or maneuver by themselves. They're meant for going in a straight line. Tugboat crews routinely encounter what few of us will ever see. They easily read a vessel's size, shape, function, and features while deciphering at a glance the mysterious numbers, letters, and symbols on a ship's hull. To non-mariners, the markings look like hieroglyphs. For those in the know, they speak volumes about a particular ship and also about the shipping industry. And a little bit more here. Ocean-going vessels carry over 80% of the world's trade, with more than 90,000 merchant ships plying international waters. Tankers, bulk carriers, container ships, the largest things on Earth that move, are by far the most important modes of transportation in our time. They convey billions of tons of goods every year, bringing us everything from cars to crude oil to containers jammed with fidget spinners. And so this article just goes on. It's lovely. You can Google it online, The Secret Language of Ships. But what I wanted to talk about with you today in the time we have left here is all about tugboats. Tugboats are just, I love tugboats, but there are lots of different kinds of tugs. The kind of tug that they're talking about here is a very special tug that we don't see much in this part of the Columbia, but you do see them upriver where people are docking ships. And that's the tractor tug. I mean, we have ships that, so there are ships that tow barges, there are ships that push barges, there are fire tugs that you may have seen, there are pilot boats which are a kind of tugs. They're all part of a class of boats that are work boats. But these tractor tugs have very, very strong, huge engines in them, and they are able to act like the brakes of a ship. So they'll get a ship that's coming into harbor, and they'll attach lines to it, and they'll use their engines to help the ship slow down and maneuver. It's extraordinary. I've watched it done, and it is just really extraordinary to see a small vessel use its power to slow down a gigantic ship. So very exciting. I'll talk to you more about this tomorrow on The Ship Report. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day, and enjoy those sun breaks. I think we might actually have some this week.